my biggest concern with the letter that was written to my governor on behalf of my city, and the reason that I felt the need to stand up and say, hang on a second, that doesn't fully represent our voice up here, was the big issue there is red flag laws. And they are easily, without debate, prime target to be abused. So a red flag law in a cancel culture society can be more abused. And further, it doesn't do anything else to make you safe. So if you can point to isolated instances where a red flag law actually prevented a mass casualty shooting, I'd like to hear that. I still don't have a single example where we can definitively point to that. And so I think they are almost impossible to enforce in the correct way. And it goes straight against your ability for due process and for unlawful search and seizure. So, like, as a society, we're saying, hey, stop and frisk is not lawful. Like, we believe that that encroaches on your civil liberties. You're being stereotyped. You're being judged in an unfair way. And that we're not going to allow our police officers to do this. And so what we've now said is we're going to do stop and frisk inside of your living room. So based on what somebody thinks about how you look, act, said, your political opinion, whatever your dissonance is or your dissent from society, now you're a target and we have the right to come in and remove your firearm for a time, temporarily restrict your Second Amendment right. And now you need to come in and you have to prove your innocence. So you are now considered guilty until you can prove your innocence. And then through a long drawn out process and lots of money, which if you looked at what John Cornyn proposed in that bill, which I haven't read through the full thing, but there definitely alludes to the fact that it will not be paid for through the court system. It's not free of charge for you to have to go defend yourself. So who knows how many thousands of dollars you've now got to pay in order to gain back your God-given liberty. It's a huge issue.
How about universal background checks? We hear that term tossed out there. I'm a multi-firearm owner and licensed carrier, and every time I've ever bought a firearm from a dealer, I had to go through the background check. I've done it many times. However, I have bought a couple of firearms from individuals, and obviously there's no background check and not even any paperwork required on that kind of a purchase. Here's your money. Okay, here's the gun. Thanks, pal. Some have real concerns about that. What say you?
I'm going to stand on the side of, like, definitely not against a background check. I think it's common sense. I think it's logical. I don't have a problem with it. I'm obviously not a convicted felon, and I have the right to go and buy that. I don't mind waiting 2 or 3 days. I don't mind waiting 7 days. I don't have an issue with those structures that are in place. What I have an issue with is anything that leads to some sort of registry where I now have to register all of my firearms. So whatever I currently own or choose to purchase in the future and being able to track those individual weapons is where this issue gets sticky. And so you cannot eliminate person-to-person contact any more than wearing a mask would protect you through COVID. So, like, you cannot stop the transaction from person to person. So what we're trying to do is legislate individuals rather than legislating industry. So when you legislate industry, those are good policies. When you have your FFL and you're a firearms dealer, then you need to follow certain guidelines. Along with that comes certain liabilities. And so we don't want to be so broad in this, hey, we've got to do something to make people feel safe. Let's just throw out a universal background check that's arbitrary. And now we have firearms dealers that do not have the ability to fully comply with the law because it's so broad.